This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by SiteGround. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, I'm your host, and my special guest today is my longtime friend, Mr. Matthew Weirofinney. Say hi to everybody, Matthew.
Hello, everybody.
Now, before we get started, I do want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, SiteGround. We really appreciate them sponsoring us this year. And if you're looking for hosting for your web app, take a look at siteground.com. We'll talk a little bit more about them later on in the program. Matthew, you've been doing Zen Framework, let's be honest, almost as long as me. I was using it in point two. Were you on the team at that point?
I wasn't on the team, but we were using it. I was on the eBiz team, and I actually started using a number of different classes back in November of the previous year.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the original DevZone was written in it, and so that's where I got my exposure to it. So you've been doing it quite some time now, and you took over as the lead back in 2006, 2007?
2007.
Yeah.
Anyway, 2007 was when I joined the team officially. I had been unofficially on it for some time before that, but I transitioned out of eBiz into the team. 2008, I was made architect, and 2009, project lead.
Very cool. Well, now, so you've shepherded it through most of version 1, all of version 2, and now Zen Framework is in version 3. There's a little bit of confusion. At least for old guys like me, there's a little bit of confusion. What is the difference between Zen's Framework 2 and Zen Framework 3? Because they look a lot alike to me.
They're almost identical. What we did, it's a few major initiatives that... Yeah. Unless you look under the hood, you may not actually notice what's going on. One of those was a couple of years ago, we started an effort to split out the components into their own repositories and have them develop their own development life cycles. This was for a number of reasons. One is that there's some components that just aren't getting updates, but they would get bumped to version every time we bumped the framework, which seemed crazy. Another part was that there were others that were getting lots of updates, but they would have to wait until we bumped the framework, until we had a bunch of different pieces in place to make it the so-called compelling release. So we decided to split those up because that way we could iterate on the components that really needed it, that had a lot of community activity, that had a lot of bugs or a lot of new features coming in, and actually get those out to users much more quickly so that they can go and run Composer Update and say, for instance, they're using Zen Validate, they get the new validators right away, which is really cool. One of the big things. But that also meant that we could start iterating on some of the major components in different ways. And in particular, we were looking at Zen Service Manager and Zen Event Manager because there are some major performance issues that we were seeing with them. And we had a few different contributors, but primarily Miguel Gavejo from France. Did a whole bunch of work on each of these components, and Mark Benowitz also on, especially on the event manager, just trying to squeeze as much performance into each of these as possible. And these led to some backwards compatibility breaks. So that was our first version 3 components, actually, because we had to break backwards compatibility in order to make it possible to do some of this work. So when we started saying that we were going to have a version 3 of some of the components, those were then no longer, they were no longer backwards compatible. People couldn't upgrade to them easily if they're using the full framework because the framework was pinned to the 2.x series. So then we started looking at how we can iterate on some of the other components and make a compelling release. We did a lot of work on the performance of those, but another part of the performance is if you have a whole bunch of components that are all installed all at once, and all the dependencies are going into the container graph all at once, even though you're using two or three of them. Now you have a performance issue because you have all this wiring that's being done for you that you actually don't need. So because we were able to split things out into their components, we said, hey, what if we were to do this with MVC and actually start moving things like the factories and event list images and stuff into their actual respective components. So the stuff for Zen form goes into Zen form, for input filter goes in there. And we started doing that and figured out a way that we could even automate registration of those things when you install them via Composer. And so now our MVC has about 6 dependencies and that's it, which means that you have a very streamlined, slim kernel when you first install the skeleton. You have the MVC and a few other components and that's it. And then we were able to start going, what else could we do? And so we started building installers. And so we have an installer with the skeleton application that says, okay, here's the minimal application. Would you like form support? Would you like internationalization support? And that sort of thing. And what it does is it then injects packages that add these bridge layers, that add the factories, that add the event listeners into the application. And so then you're up and running with just the dependencies you need. And that was what we really wanted to focus on was, instead of, you know, getting the kitchen sink and everything, what if you could get just exactly what you need to start your application and gradually add the components that you want? And that's what we really wanted to go with. So instead of being these big monolithic frameworks that we started with in 2005, now we could be a smaller, almost a kernel, you know, micro-kernel, for your application that you can then start adding other components into until you get exactly what you need. So that was really what Zen Framework 3 was about, was how do we squeeze performance and how can we provide a minimalistic MVC framework that has all the features you're used to with none of the features you don't need.
And I can, I assume that means I can either install MVC in the full framework or I can just pull out a component here or a component there to use what I need.
Exactly. And we've been doing a series of blog posts since the beginning of the year covering how you can use these individual components in any application, whether it's Zen Framework, if it's Expressive, if it's a Laravel, if it's Symfony, if it's Yi. You can actually use all these Zen components very easily. Most of them are, we did a lot of work to make them standalone so that you don't need to have all that MVC wiring. You can really just say, okay, I want to use the input filter, and I can start using that right away. Rob Allen, who used to contribute a ton to Zen Framework, has also been contributing and maintaining Slim, and he's been writing posts about doing exactly that, where he's using Zen components in Slim because he's familiar with them, he knows that they do the job well, and he knows that he can go and install them and wire them in however he needs to for Slim, and it just works.
That is very cool. So the major difference is just the componentization. Most of the code and underneath it is very similar in 2 and 3. If you're familiar with 2, you can make the jump to 3 easily?
Exactly. And we did a bunch of code actually preparing for it, where if we were going to bump something to a new major version, we also added a 2.x version, a new minor version for that particular component with board compatibility features. And these might be deprecation notices. There might be tooling and whatnot to help you migrate your code so that it can work with both versions. We wanted to do that to make it easy for you to upgrade because really the main architecture is identical to what you had before.
Very cool. Hey, we're going to talk about a couple things, a couple other things that are going around about Zen Framework. But before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. See, every website needs hosting, but not all the hosts are the same. If you're looking for a solid and secure host for your website, your web application, or your web store, check out SiteGround. You can find them at siteground.com. They're rock-solid technical people. They're easy people to work with when it comes to support, but now here's the most important thing. They're fun people to work with. I mean, if you run into them at a WordCamp or a PHP conference, stop by and talk to them. You know, they're really nice. But more importantly, though, when you're ready to select the host for your next web app, check them out. You can find their information at siteground.com, and make sure you tell them Cal sent you. Okay, let's talk about the next thing that you've been working on, which is the next thing I say, in my mind, the timeline went Zen Framework 2, 3, and then I saw you release this stupid elephant with a rocket on it. Agility. That's it. So talk to us about the elephant you strapped a rocket to.
Right, so Appagility was us recognizing that there is a niche in PHP that people are wanting to fill, but are doing so in their own ways all the time, and that's APIs. And so we went and researched and said, you know, what are the considerations for APIs? There's authentication and authorization, there's content negotiation, there's validation. There's, I've got all these things going on in my head. Anyway, there's a whole list of them. We actually found about 7 different aspects that were common across various APIs that we need to be able to do. We said, well, what if we could, you know, develop kind of an API engine around this? And I've actually done a little bit of work on this on my own. I called it Fly Restfully. And we actually tore that apart and created a bunch of different discrete Xen framework modules that did the, you know, exactly one thing, you know, content negotiation, content validation, authentication. And we put those into a new domain, a new organization on GitHub called ZetApp Campus. I'm trying to remember exactly where we got the idea for the campus terminology. We thought it would be good to have it kind of separate from Xen Framework, but have it a set of really high quality modules around APIs. Andy then said, you know, hey, you know, APIs are really cool, and I think that's great that we are developing an engine, but one thing I haven't seen is a way for people to kind of build this stuff visually. Now, it's all nice to be able to do the programmatic stuff, but sometimes it's nice to be able to just say, okay, I need authentication, I need validation, I want to describe the validation, and just be able to do it very quickly and easily without having to muck about with configuration files, learn all of Xen framework, that sort of thing. So we built a UI on top of it as well that is enabled in development mode. It's built using Angular, and it has an API sitting behind it that utilizes a lot of the features of Appagility itself as well. And that allows you to go and create an API, create services for your API, do the validation, do the documentation, set up the authentication, all that stuff. And that's a lot of fun. You know, you can go and describe all that. One of the other cool things with it is that we actually two things. We have DB connected and Doctrine connected. With these, you point them at an adapter, and then it says, okay, here's all the stuff that's available. So if it's a DB table, it shows you here are all the tables associated with that adapter. If it's Doctrine, here are all the entities, and it says, which ones do you want to expose? And then it goes and does a little bit of reflection on these and even builds up the initial filters and validators for you.
Oh, nice.
And all that stuff so that you can actually get started. So, you know, it's not always great to think of REST as a CRUD interface, but quite often that's what people are wanting, at least initially with the REST applications. And so they can go and do that without even doing any code whatsoever, which is really fun. I showed this to a few customers recently, and they just like blew their minds when they started using it all over the place. So.
You and I were talking via email yesterday and today about a project that I'm working on, and I'm working on right now. It's not an API project, but I've built an API for it. And you're right. As much fun as this project was, I spent probably the first month of coding just building out the CRUD. You know, and I've got about 6 or 7 different items in the system. Every one of them is stored in the database, so you've got to be able to create them, edit them, delete them, list them, all that stuff. And that hasn't changed since I was doing FoxPro work. You know, it's the same old stuff. So if you built something that will cut out that 60% of the work that I've got to do and let me focus on the cool stuff, that does sound interesting.
And that's exactly the point. And then, of course, the other part you can do is if you already have code and you want to create an API around it, we have the code connected, and you can say, okay, I want this resource here, the operations, I want it, and then you wire in your code, and it's just like that. So that's the whole idea with the Appagility is to really make it easy to make a well-formed API that fits all these different features that you commonly need without having to go to a lot of effort. So that's been around for a few years now. And
we're
looking at taking it in some new directions, but that's really the next question you got. So.
Going to replace the rocket with an ion drive. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
well, it's a very interesting project. We saw, you know, I forget the name of it, but Helgi and all of them over, it used to be Orchestrate PHP before EngineYard bought them. They built something similar to this. Matter of fact, for their for the front-end web interface, they actually use Zen Framework to build it. Is it similar to that kind of tool where you, I've got a web interface and I can say I have these resources and it blows out all the skeleton code for me to start putting my code in?
Exactly. That's exactly what the Code Connector does. Is it says, okay, I want to do this resource and I want these operations, and then it goes and spits out the code, and then you just fill in blanks, which is...
But then additionally, you've got the command line stuff where it's just modules that can be installed and used as you see fit. Yeah. Excellent. Very cool. Okay, last topic before we talk about, before I ask you the questions I ask everybody about your user group. There is another piece of Zen Framework that is a little bit newer, although it's just revved into version 2, I believe. You've got a new one called Expressive. Talk to us a little bit about what Expressive is and how it fits into the Zen Framework family.
Expressive is a middleware microframework, essentially. One of the things we built out a couple of years ago as we were working towards PSR7, which is a project from the PHP Framework Interop Group. It's the seventh recommendation, and it's around HTTP messages. As we were developing that, I developed a library that implemented the interfaces, and that became what we call the Arcturus, which is just its implementation of request and response and all those things. At the same time, I was also porting a project from the Node ecosystem called Essentia Connect, which is a middleware library to PHP. And that became what we call Stratability within the Zen Framework ecosystem. It is a middleware foundation. It's just basically, how do I create a pipeline and execute it with the middleware? So Expressive builds on top of that. And what the main goal for it is to allow you to create a middleware application using whatever tools you want. We think that you need to have a dependency injection container. We think you obviously need some routing capabilities. We think you might need templates, but we, you know, if you're doing APIs, you might not. And then also error handling. So those basic things we want built in. And so we ask you, what do you want to use? So with the container, do I want to use ORDI? Do I want to use Pimple? Do I want to use Zen Service Manager? We're talking about integration with the DISCO project that Stefan Hochdorfer leads. And so we have an installer that asks you, which one of those do you want to use? Do you have another implementation you have already? We actually allow you to specify that. What router do you want to use? We default to Nikita Popov's Fast Router, which is amazing, but we also do support for Aura, the Aura router, and also for the Zen Router, which is a component within Zen Framework. For templating, we look at Twig. You know, that's the most popular templating engine out there right now. So we have the support for Twig. We have support for Plates, which is from the PHP League. And we have support for Zen View as well. And then for error handling, we thought, hey, you know, we could build our own, or Whoops is out there, and for debug mode, that's great. And so we built some integration with that. And what we do is we just have this very slim a skeleton that, you know, sets up a basic structure for you and wires up that container for you and allows you then to start adding in your middleware for your pipeline, routing middleware, and that sort of stuff, and just get going. And so we just use things, using standards as much as possible. So for containers, anything that supports PSR 11, for middleware, anything that supports upcoming PSR 15, although we also do the legacy double pass middleware that became really popular for a while. That's what we did in version 1. Anything from PHP, anything from Composer you want to put in there, you can use in your middleware, and that's the whole idea. We really like middleware as a team because we feel it allows you to shape the workflow yourself. When you use an MVC framework like Zend MVC or Symfony or some of the others, one of the problems that I run into with them is that they typically have a very rigid workflow that you want to use. So it's like, you know, as you enter the application, as you route, as you dispatch, as you render the view, as you emit. And those are the events, and you can only wire into those specific events. And when you do, it's across the entire application. You can't do it for, okay, I just routed to this specific thing. And for this one, I need validation, but I don't need it for the others. And so you have to write your code in such a way that, okay, if it's this one, I want to do it. If it's not, I want to leave and move on to the next one. And so that's problematic as far as we feel. With middleware, I can compose all these nested pipelines. And so I can say, okay, only if I route to this particular thing, like API/users, and it's a post request, do I need authentication and validation, right? And I think that's a fantastic way of doing things because I can, you know, really compose things with building blocks, much like I might on the Unix command line where I pipe one to the next, and if one of them fails, it comes right back out. And that's the whole idea behind it. I've seen some really complex applications built with it. I've seen some great, you know, simple prototypes built with it. And I think it's really the way, the architecture of the future for web applications.
I totally agree. I got to use middleware for the first time in this project that I was working on. And you're right. There are certain endpoints that, yeah, I've got to have validation on and all of that, heavy security. There are other endpoints that I don't need any of that. But I wanted on all my endpoints to be able to have a big red button I could push and shut the whole thing down if necessary. And that was as simple as defining the middleware that does that. And I mean, you know, I was really expecting that to be very difficult, and it took me an afternoon to get that piece written and in the database and everything. So middlewares, I'm warming up to them an awful lot. They're very powerful, and it's just a matter of. To me, it was a paradigm shift in how you code and where to put things. Because stuff that we would normally shove into the controller, because, you know, it's always been the controller's the traffic cop.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Now we don't have to do that, or we don't have to have a base class controller that has this stuff in it that we subclass or anything. It just goes in the middleware. So it's very cool.
I can do logging. I don't have to, you know, add logging as a triggered event. I just, you know, put a logging middleware in front of the anything I want logged, and I'm done, right? And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I'm very excited about this project because I've been able to move so much of that stuff into the middleware. Hey, appreciate you spending the time with us today. Before I let you go, what's your user group and what's the URL?
I'm a member of the Sioux Falls Developers Group. It's a polyglot group. We do things ranging from .NET to PHP to Ruby to Python to Node. The URL is www.meetup.com/sfdevs.
SFdevs. Well, thank you so much, Matthew. Appreciate everything that you do for all of us in the community. You contribute so much and have over all these years. Just wanted to say thank you for all of that. I want to say thank you to SiteGround for sponsoring us. Once again, if you're looking for a host for your web app, take a look at them, siteground.com. We'll talk to you next time on Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.